Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you the true and tender story of a girl and a boy and a golden shamrock, starring Miss Dorothy McGuire. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. They have the pride of craftsmen in their name, H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K, Hallmark. That's why Hallmark cards are the kind of cards you can be proud to send, proud to receive. So when you want to send the very finest, look on the back for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. To be doubly sure, always look in the back of the cards you choose for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Now to preside over our program this evening, here's our regular master of ceremonies, the young Broadway actor and producer, Richard Kellner.
Thank you, Tom Shirley, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards felt there was no nicer present they can give you for St. Patrick's Day than to invite Dorothy McGuire to play our little Irish girl tonight. So here she is. Welcome, Dorothy.
Thank you, Dick. I hope it won't distress you to learn that my forebears live nearer the River Dundee than the River Shannon. But I don't have to be Irish to send you a Hallmark card on St. Patrick's Day, do I, Dick?
You certainly don't, Dorothy. Tonight you're Colleen by proxy and the darling of our hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, you've seen Dorothy McGuire and Claudia, The Spiral Staircase, The Enchanted Cottage. Great roles that have taken her right to the top. Tonight, she plays a little Irish girl, luckily or perhaps unluckily, in love. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards present on the Reader's Digest radio edition, Sweet Rosie O'Brady, starring Dorothy McGuire.
Sitting at a table in a nightclub. Dan, his mother, and the old gentleman I used to work for until Dan came along and gave me a new ambition in life. We were to be married sometime in June. And like all the other fashionable brides-to-be, I was in New York picking out my trousseau. Slowly, carefully, expensively. Oh, yes. The wife of Dan Furness had to be dressed expensively, with almost a completely new wardrobe for every hour of the day. Imagine little me in $60 hats. And nightgowns that cost more than the winter coat I'd been wearing for the past 5 years. I should have been the happiest girl in the world. Perhaps I would have been if we'd gone some other place for dinner. Any place but here.
Well, hello, darling.
Oh, hello, Dan.
Got an extra hand I can hold under the table? Or are you too busy eating?
Oh, I'm never too busy to hold hands.
Hey. They're cold.
And that's why I'm marrying you, dear. You can give up squash and devote your mornings to warming my hands.
How about your feet?
Oh, they're like ice.
Want them defrosted?
Oh, Dan, please. Your mother and Mr. Grant, everybody can see what you're doing.
Oh, drop something, Dan?
No, Mother.
Oh, Dan.
I can't stop him, Mrs. Furness.
Well, I refuse to be a witness to this exhibition. Charles, let's dance.
Yes, certainly. Would you excuse us?
Indefinitely, Mr. Grant.
Oh.
Yes, I thought so.
Dan. You mustn't say things like that.
Oh, Mr. Glad knows I'm only kidding. Besides, I want to be alone with you.
Alone with all these people around?
I don't even know they're here. All I can see is two big blue eyes.
Oh.
Little button of a nose. And a mouth that was custom built to my specifications.
Oh, darling, you're such a fool.
Good fool.
Wonderful, wonderful fool. That's why I'm so terrified of losing you.
How can you do that? I'm right in the palm of your hand.
Oh, Dan. You do love me, don't you?
More than anything else in the world.
More than...
What?
Nothing.
Say, what's the matter, darling? What's bothering you?
I don't know. I'm just funny tonight.
Why? Come on, tell me. You act as if you were worried about something.
No, I'm all right, dear.
Margaret, now what's wrong? You keep looking at me as if I were 1,000 miles away. Look, I want to help you now.
Oh, I know, Dan.
Well, Ann, for heaven's sake, stop playing with that pin and tell me what the matter is.
Well, maybe it's the pin that's causing the trouble.
What?
I'm afraid you'll have to make it a foursome again, Dan. We're back.
Oh, good heavens, Margaret. Why such a long face? You and Dad look as if you'd already been married.
Oh, we're just practicing, Mother.
Well, I'd hardly say that Margaret was. She's somewhere off in the clouds.
Hmm?
A penny for your thoughts, young lady.
A penny? Why, you're a biker, Mr. Grant. I'd give her $1,000.
I suppose Dan would have given $1,000 to know what I was thinking. And yet, if I'd told him, he'd have been terribly disappointed. I was thinking about that pin, the one I'd been fingering unconsciously all the while he was asking me what was wrong. It was just an ordinary gold pin in the shape of a shamrock. And underneath the top leaf were three engraved words, Sweet Rosie O'Grady. Those words didn't mean very much now to anyone else but me. But some 40 years ago, when this pin was made, they meant a great deal to the young jeweler who made it. Some 40 years ago.
You're going to go blind working on that pin, Charlie.
Well, if I do, it'll be worth it.
She that pretty?
She is from the first row on the aisle, and they won't sell me a seat any closer.
Oh, showgirl, huh?
Showgirl? She's the whole show. Haven't you ever heard of Rosalie O'Grady?
No, not in Brooklyn.
Well, she doesn't come from Brooklyn. She comes from Dublin. Dublin, Ireland. And she's a star.
Oh.
You want to see her picture?
But don't tell me she gave you one.
No. I took it out of the frame in the lobby of the theater.
Say, she's real pretty.
You ought to see her on the stage. She's got a voice like Jenny Lynn.
And a figure like Lillian Russell.
Yeah. Stop looking at her figure.
You wanted me to see her picture, didn't you?
Well, I didn't want you to look at her like that.
You're going to get into trouble, Charlie. Making pins for a woman like this is an expensive proposition. She probably eats at the Astor.
I don't care where she eats, as long as I can be with her. Phil, don't you understand? I'm head over heels in love with her. We're going to be married.
Married? When?
Well, I don't know the exact date. I haven't been introduced to her yet.
Rosie O'Grady. It's adorable, Charles. Adorable. But you really shouldn't have made it for me.
Why not? It couldn't have been made for anyone else.
Oh, I don't think you'll understand. Only two kinds of men give me gifts, and you're not like the other kind.
Well, perhaps I'm in a class by myself.
That's just it. You are. You're not the stage door Johnny type, and the other type is always over 50. Very rich. And bored with being married.
Oh. What does that make me?
A very sweet boy who's fallen in love. With love. You'll get over it, Charles.
Why should I? I like being in love with you.
But you're not in love with me. You're in love with a girl who sings and dances and makes witty remarks for 2 hours on stage until the curtain comes down. She's very pretty. Easy to get along with. And she looks like an ideal mother for all your unborn children. The only trouble is, she doesn't exist.
She does for me. And I'm not a boy, Miss O'Grady. I'm very much in love with you.
Oh, don't say that. I shall never know what to do with you now.
Well, that's simple. Marry me.
Oh, I'm afraid I can't, Charles. I'm married already.
Married?
Yes. Happily married. My husband's waiting for me in the next room.
I'm
terribly sorry, Charles. He's in there having dinner with our 3-year-old daughter.
That 3-year-old daughter grew up to be my mother. Yes. Sweet Rosie O'Grady was my grandmother. And a nicer, kinder, more thoughtful granny nobody ever had. Like so many musical comedy stars in the Broadway galaxy, she was a big name in her day, and a forgotten one when that day was over.
The money she'd saved after a lifetime in the theater was pitifully little, and she stretched it thin, helping others, helping me. My folks were never very well off. And I remember when I was graduated from high school, the only present I got was a shamrock pin from my grandmother.
Go ahead, Margaret. Sure, and take it. I only wish I could give you something better.
Oh, but it's yours. I mean, it's so personal.
Oh, nonsense. I haven't looked at this pin in 20 years.
You're just saying that. I know how much it means to you. You've told me about it dozens of times.
Sure, sure, and I've told you about my career a dozen more. I don't need this pin to remember, girl. I've got it all right here in my heart.
But sometimes you...
Sometimes you like to give away something that's dear to you. Didn't they ever teach you it was more blessed to give than to receive?
Sure, is that why you're so blessed, Granny?
Go along with you, girl. These pins and programs and newspaper clippings are all part of a scrapbook that closed many years ago. When I die, they'll just dump it into the ash can.
Don't talk about dying, Granny.
Oh, for heaven's sake, stop being so sentimental. You'll have me blubbering in a minute. Just take the pin and wear it in good health, dear. I want you to have it.
Well, with that inscription on it, my name isn't O'Brady.
I don't care what your name is. You're the spitting Irish image of me, and you know it.
Is that why you want me to have the pin?
Of course it is. What difference does it make what your real name is? As far as I'm concerned, you're Rosie O'Brady.
Sure, and a proud Rosie O'Brady I am. A moment ago, Mr. Grant offered me a penny for my thoughts. Yet he, of all people, might have known what I was thinking. He, of all people, might have known why my hands were so cold, why I couldn't eat any dinner. Did he know? Why was he looking at me so thoughtfully? Perhaps he, too, was thinking back to that first day I'd met him, the day I was sent to see him about a job.
Yes, yes, it's a secretarial job, Miss Hanson. Being a writer, I need a sort of combination sounding board, typist, critic, and amateur psychiatrist.
Yes, sir.
Now, do you think that you could be all those things for $35 a week?
Well, it doesn't really matter what I think, does it?
Hmm? No, I suppose not. It's helpful for a writer to be surrounded by reassuring people. Yes, very often I... What did you say your name was?
Miss Hanson.
No.
Margaret Hanson.
No. It's funny, I could swear that I have seen you somewhere before, and yet I... Have you ever been to the University of Michigan?
No, sir, I've never been to any university.
Oh, well, doesn't really matter. I just thought that you... I keep thinking that you're an actress or a murderess or somebody that's been in the papers a great deal. Have you ever...
No, I've never done a thing.
Good Lord. I know. The pin. Where did you get that pin?
Why, my grandmother gave it to me.
Your grandmother?
Yes.
Where'd she get it?
Well, really, Mr. Grant...
Oh, come, young lady. Very important. I see that pin.
Well, all right.
Yes, thought so. Sweet Rosie O'Brady. She gave it to your grandmother.
No, sir. Rosie O'Brady is my grandmother.
Of course. I should have recognized you the minute I saw you.
Why? Who are you, Mr. Grant? I mean...
Yes. Of course you wouldn't understand, Miss Hanson. Well, now, you see, I am the man who made this pin. See, I was a jeweler at that time, and I'm very much in love with, Your grandmother was a very beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like her.
I think I'd better be going, Mr. Grant.
Going? Good heavens, I wouldn't consider letting you go. Sit right down here, Miss Hanson. You got the job.
Dorothy McGuire will be back in just a moment with the second act of tonight's drama presented by Hallmark Greeting Cards from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine.
Now, here's Dick Calmer. One day, the famed sculptor, Michelangelo, was working on a statue in his studio when a visitor came in. The visitor expressed surprise. He thought the statue appeared to be finished. Oh, no, the sculptor replied. Not finished until I give more expression to the eyes. But that's just a little thing, said the visitor. The great Michelangelo smiled. Little thing? But my friend, perfection is nothing more than careful attention to little things. Yes, little things can make a big difference in works of art and in greeting cards, too. We think that difference shows in Hallmark cards. You see, the folks who make Hallmark cards aren't making just cards. They're making Hallmark cards to express cheer and happiness as thoughtfully and sincerely as you would greet a friend yourself. That's why Hallmark cards say what you want to say the way you want to say it. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. That's why discriminating folks look on the back of the cards they send and receive for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. And now, back to Dorothy McGuire and Sweet Rosie O'Brady.
So long ago that I met Dan, Mr. Grant introduced us. Purposely, I thought. Somehow, that pin I wore and the memories he had of Sweet Rosie O'Brady made him take a fatherly interest in me. And I couldn't help but notice that he went out of his way to play the part of Cupid. He kept me working late one night, the same night he invited Dan Furness for dinner. So it was only natural for me to stay on and join them. But Mr. Grant didn't have to play Cupid very long. And that night, when Dan took me home, we stood in the doorway and talked until the morning sun reminded us that it was dawn. Good heavens, Dan. It's morning.
Already?
Oh, it must be. Unless the sun is up awfully early today.
Well, for Pete's sake. I bet you're dead tired.
I've had a wonderful time.
Just standing here in the hallway?
I should have said goodnight to you hours ago.
Well, as I remember, you did, but I just didn't go home.
I don't think I let you. But, maybe I'd better now.
All right, Margaret. I'll go.
Oh, well, let's just have one more cigarette, and then I really do have to go in.
See, I got a better idea. Let's make it a kiss instead of a cigarette. How about it? Will you kiss me goodnight?
Oh, good morning, Dan.
All right, then. Kiss me good morning.
Then you'll never go home.
Oh, yes, I will. Oh,
Dan, what are you doing?
Kissing you.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that.
Why not? I'm one of the family.
Are you? I've only known you a few hours.
Well, I've known you much longer. 6 years, to be exact.
What do you mean?
Well, 6 years ago, I drew a mental picture of the girl I was going to fall in love with. I knew exactly what she'd be like. Her hair, her clothes, the way she talked. Everything. And you're it. To a T. From the tip of your nose to the smile with Irish eyes.
Oh, those mighty kind words, stranger.
They're most true words, darling. I'm in love with you.
Dan.
And I'll tell you something else, too.
What?
I'm going to marry you.
Dan never cared how poor I was, and I was in love with him, not his money. But, inevitably, I had to meet his mother.
Sit down, Miss Hanson.
Thank you.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Mother, let's not make this a 21-gun salute. I brought Margaret here to meet you, not to exchange credentials.
Dan, if you're going to make fun of me.
Mother, I'm not making fun of you. I just know how Margaret feels. But the poor kid, she's scared to death of you.
Oh, dear. Am I that forbidding?
Well, it isn't you, Mrs. Furness. It's just that, well, the idea of meeting someone you're hoping to make a good impression on.
Well, then, I'm in the same boat, Margaret. After all, if my son wants to marry you...
Your son more than wants to, Mother. Your son is going to.
Oh, Dan. Dan,
please. Thank you, dear. Give us a chance to get acquainted, Dan. South. You're from Boston, aren't you, Margaret?
Yes.
Did you go to school there?
Yes. High school. I've never been to college.
Oh.
Mother.
Dan, would you please be quiet for a moment? As soon as your engagement is announced, every society editor in New York is going to be after me for a story. I've got to know a little about Margaret's background.
I'm afraid there isn't much, Mrs. Furness. I'm just an ordinary girl who happens to be very much in love with your son.
I know, dear. But for your sake, as well as Dan's, it would be better if his friends thought of you as one of their crowd. Then you wouldn't have to bother explaining who you are or where you come from.
I'm not ashamed of who I am, Mrs. Furness.
Well, of course not, darling. I'm just trying to make it easier for you. After all, you want to be popular with Dan's friends, don't you?
I want to be popular with Dan.
Then take my word for it, Margaret. Just be vague about your background. I'll manufacture some harmless little story for the newspapers. And if anybody ever questions you, just laugh it off by saying your folks came over on the Mayflower.
In Dan's crowd, it always seemed to matter who you were as well as what you were. They were birds of a feather. And it was important for me to be one of them, for Dan's sake and mine as well. The only trouble was, I wasn't one of them. And it made me wonder if Dan and I would ever be happy together. It made me wonder. It made me cry.
Oh, darling. For Pete's sake, what are you doing?
I'm thinking about you.
Well, that's a fine thing. I thought I made you happy.
I am happy, dear.
Well, if you are, I'd hate to see you when you say it. What's the matter?
Everything.
Well, what do you mean? When did all this happen? What's going on here?
I don't know. I just feel sort of scared about our getting married.
Scared? Oh, what's wrong, darling?
Nothing, I suppose, but it always frightens me when I think about all your money and the elegant people we go around with.
Now, Margaret, I thought we weren't going to talk about that anymore.
Oh, but Dan, we've got to talk about it now, because it'll be too late after we're married.
Too late for what?
To find out if it'll hurt you if your friends don't accept me. After all, they don't love me the way you do, and I never want you to be embarrassed by me or my folks either.
Oh, good Lord, sweetheart.
My folks will want to see us, Dan. They'll want to come to the wedding.
Well, of course.
Don't you care? Won't it bother you to have them around? Think, darling. Think how you feel when you see me being as proud of them as you are of your folks.
Margaret, look. Now, let's settle this thing once and for all. I'm marrying you because I love you. Because I know you're the sweetest girl in all the world. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all that counts.
Are you sure, Dan? Are you sure it's not just your heart talking?
Oh, darling. You know I'm proud of you, don't you?
Yes, darling.
Well, then, how could I ever be ashamed of your family?
Did he mean that? Did he really mean what he said that day? It's so hard to know how anybody really feels deep down inside. It's so hard to know how you yourself feel. That's why I've been so nervous all through dinner. That's why I'm so terrified right now. I should have insisted on going someplace else as soon as I found out about her. I should insist on going someplace else now before the... Oh, it's too late now. I could have gone an hour ago, but I can't go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special show for you tonight. A show featuring all the biggest stars on Broadway. Yes, the biggest stars on Broadway 40 years ago. Tom Corley, Eben Willie Jones, the Sandler Brothers, and the Sweetheart of Law, and here she is, Sweet Rosie O'Reilly.
The blue crude spotlight, in the same sort of hourglass gown she'd worn in the days when men drank champagne out of her slipper.
Oh, thank you, my friend. It's so good of you to remember.
In the shade of the old apple tree, where the love in your eyes I could see.
Her voice was gone, of course. And the wrinkles in her neck looked horrible and layers of grease paint. Her hair was thin and her hands were gaunt. And all that was left of her were her two lovely blue eyes.
I saw her, I knew she'd taken this engagement only because she needed the money.
She's awful, isn't she, darling?
Is she, darling?
Oh, she's the image of our laundress, Dan. Remember Mrs. O'Leary?
That's right, Mother. She looks just like her. Only I think Mrs. O'Leary had a better voice.
Darling, please.
What's the matter?
Why, it's degrading. A woman that age making a spectacle of herself. How can she do it?
Oh, now, don't be unkind, Mater. She's probably somebody's grandmother.
Huh? That woman you're talking about, that woman who's making such a spectacle of herself, is somebody's grandmother. She's my grandmother.
What?
She's a fine, noble woman, and I'm proud of her. All her life she's been good to the people around her, taken care of them, given them money. That's why she's here now, because she's too good to ask for anything in return.
And what?
No, leave me alone. I'm going backstage to wait for her. Tell her how proud I am to be your grandmother, and none of you need bother coming with me. I knew it was the end, but I didn't care. I turned my back on all of them and ran out into the street without even saying goodbye. And when I looked for the alley outside, I looked for it to go backstage to the dressing room. Oh, Dan, Dan. He was all I could think of as I ran to the stage door and asked the doorman to show me to a room. When I got there, Dan was waiting.
Hello, sweetheart.
Dan, what are you doing here?
Waiting for you. You didn't give me a chance to catch up with you, so I took a shortcut through the stage.
Oh, it's all right, Dan. You don't have to say goodbye to me. I understand how you feel.
Do you?
I think I do.
Oh, I love you, Margaret. I want to marry you.
Oh, darling, don't say that.
I love you. Can't you hear me?
Oh, Dan. Put your arms around me.
Oh, sweetheart. Come on, honey. Knock on the door. I want to meet your grandmother. My grandmother. And more.
Oh, darling.
Thank you, Dorothy McGuire, for a fine performance. Remember, when you want to greet a friend, send a Hallmark card. And sure, next Monday you'll be wanting to greet all your friends, for St. Patrick's Day it is. So get you down to your Hallmark dealers tomorrow and make your selection of Hallmark St. Patrick's Day cards for all your friends, whether Irish they be or not. You'll find Hallmark St. Patrick's Day cards with their shamrock, their special greeting, and just a bit of blimey. A perfect way to tell your friends you remembered them on St. Patrick's Day.
You're cordially invited to be with us again next week at the same time for another fine dramatic program brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. If you enjoyed tonight's show, won't you please tell your friends about it and ask them also to tune in for next week's program sponsored by Hallmark Reading Cards. At that time, you will hear a story by one of America's best-loved writers, O. Henry. Our star will be one of Hollywood's most glamorous leading ladies, Miss Jean Tierney.
Producer of the Technicolor picture, Bureau Renaissance. Miss McGuire was supported by Chet Stratton in the role of Dan and Carl Swenson as Charles. Sweet Rosie O'Grady was dramatized by Robert Sloan from the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look in the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. This is Tom Shirley speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards and for your friendly Hallmark dealer. You'll find a wide selection of Hallmark cards in America's finest shops and stores. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting.
This is the WB.